ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಅಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ಬ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ಅಂಜನ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಾಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಹರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನರಂಜನ ರಂಜನ ಜಮುನಾ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ತೀರವನ ಚಾರಿ ಹರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ಬಿಹಾರಿ ಗೋಪೀಜನ ವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರಧಾರಿ
ಜಯ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಜಾಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಸ್ತೋತ್ತರಿಷತ್ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಹಿಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮೀಶ್ವರ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಾನ್ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಗೌರಂಗ ನಮ ಶಿವರಾಗ ಶ್ರೀಮತೆ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ So this morning we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 14, Pregnancy of Diti in the Evening, verse number 21. Na vayam prabhavastam tvam anukartum griheshvari ಅಪ್ಯಾಯುಷಾ ವಾ ಕಾಟ್ಸ್ನ್ಯೇನ ಯೇ ಚಾನ್ಯೇ ಗುಣಗೃಹ್ಣವ ನಾ ವಯಂ ಪ್ರಭವಸ್ತಾಂ ತ್ವಾಂ ಅನುಕರ್ತುಂ ಗೃಹೇಶ್ವರಿ ಅಪ್ಯಾಯುಷಾ ವಾ ಕಾಟ್ಸ್ನ್ಯೇನ ಯೇ ಚಾನ್ಯೇ ಗುಣಗೃಹ್ಣವಃ ಪ್ಲೀಸ್ ಚಾಂಟ್
ನಾವಯಂ ಪ್ರಭವಸ್ತಂ ತ್ವಾಂ
Prabhavastvam Tvam Anukartum Griheshwari Apyayusha Vakarsnena Ye Chanye Guna Gridhnavaha Navayam Prabhavastam Tvam Anukartum Griheshwari Ye Chanye Guna Gridhnavaha Navayam Prabhavastam Tvam Anukartam Griheshwari Apyayusha Vakarsnena Ye Chanye Guna Gridhnavaha Navayam Prabhavastam Tvam Anukartum Griheshwari Apyayusha Vakartsnena Ye Chane Guna Gridhnavaha Navayam Prabhavastam Tvam Anukartum Griheshwari Apyayusha Vakarsnena Ye Chanye Guna Gridhnavaha Navayam Prabhavastam Tvam Anukartum Griheshwari Apyayusha Vakarsnena Ye Chanye Guna Gridhnavaha.
Thank you very much. Word to word.
Na.
Never.
Never.
Vayam.
Vayam.
We.
Prabhava.
Prabhava.
Are able.
Tam.
Tam.
That.
That.
Tvam.
Tvam.
Onto you.
Anukartum.
Anukartum.
Do the same.
Griha Ishwari.
Griha Ishwari.
O Queen of the Home. Api,
Api,
in spite of Ayusha,
Ayusha,
by duration of life,
Va,
or
in the next life,
Kartsnena,
entire,
Ye,
Ye,
who,
Cha,
also,
Anye,
others,
Gunagridhnavaha,
those who are able to appreciate qualities. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. O Queen of the Home, we're not able to act like you, nor could we repay you for what you have done, even if we worked for our entire life or even after death. To repay you is not possible, even for those who are admirers of personal qualities. Purport. So much glorification of a woman by her husband indicates he is henpecked, or he is talking lightly in a joke. Kashyapa meant that householders living with wives enjoy the heavenly blessings of sense enjoyment and at the same time have no fear of going down to hell. The man in the renounced order of life has no wife and may be driven by sex desire to seek another woman or another's wives and thus go to hell. In other words, the so-called man of the renounced order who has left his house and wife goes to hell if he again desires sexual pleasure, knowingly or unknowingly. In that way, the householders are on the side of safety. Therefore, husbands, as a class, cannot repay their debt to women either in this life or in the next. Even if they engage themselves in repaying the women throughout their whole lives, it is still not possible. Not all husbands are as able to appreciate the good qualities of their wives. But even though one is able to appreciate these qualities,
it is still not possible to repay the debt to the wife. Such extraordinary praises by a husband for his wife are certainly in the mode of joking. Everybody's having a good laugh here, good.
Nama Om Shivadaya Krishna Prishaya Bhutale Shimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamiti Namne Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Vacharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshadarini
Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakal Patrubhascha Kripa Sindhi Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namo Namo. So Sesha Prabhu and I were discussing a few days ago about studying Srimad Bhagavatam. So he mentioned something. He said, I would like to develop a relationship with the Bhagavatam. So I was like, oh, okay. So that kind of made me think relationship with the Srimad Bhagavatam. That means Srimad Bhagavatam is a person. Yesterday, one thing I was thinking that how when it's a person, that's one way to approach the Bhagavatam is to, read the Bhagavatam, but to see the personalities that are given in the Bhagavatam, in the pages of the Bhagavatam, to see them as real, or to develop a relationship with them, with the people mentioned in the Bhagavatam. That's one way to develop relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam. And it's interesting, just yesterday, Vegvati Prabhu was mentioning about, she was telling about Satra Maharaj writing this book about 26 Second Avenue and how all the different articles came to life. And they were alive. And I was thinking that what had made Satra Maharaj write this book, because of his love for Srila Prabhupada. His love for Srila Prabhupada made him think about everything coming to life. And then we as listeners, as Vegvati was talking yesterday, we as listeners were, it was very endearing to our heart as she was telling different articles and how they came to life. And why is that? Because we love Srila Prabhupada. We want to hear the walls are saying, their thing, and because they're expressing their love for Srila Prabhupada. And so everything in 26 Second Avenue came to life because everything was persons. And so in the Bhagavatam, there are persons, actually. We're talking about persons here. We're talking about Maitreya Muni telling us a story. We're hearing about Kashyapa and Diti. We're hearing, although Vegavati was saying yesterday, it seems like this chapter is going so long. But fact is that you want to hear about Kashyapa and Diti. We want to get to know these people. Who are these people? How do we, and this is how we can develop our relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam, is to getting to know these people. Can you imagine you open the Bhagavatam, and I was kind of like dreaming yesterday, daydreaming. You open the Bhagavatam, all these personalities come out of there, Kashyapa comes in there, and Diti comes out there, and they're having a whole discussion. I mean, there are real people there in there. There are real people. And so many real people are in there. And so it's important that one way is that we understand, just like Satra Maharaj was talking about Prabhupada, because you love Prabhupada, Bhagavatam talks about Krishna and his devotees. And we are in the sadhana state, so we are trying to develop love for Krishna, yeah? But there are different ways, we try to think how we can make things more personal, yeah? It's more personal to, so that we can relate to. So one thing I was thinking, if we think that here we come and see Shyam Sundar every day, yeah? And so Shyam Sundar, the Bhagavatam is about Shyam Sundar. He's the person, he's our Ishtadev. Or you may have Ishtadev in your house, but Shyam Sundar is our Ishtadev, And the Bhagavatam is about Shyamasundara. And we hear about how Shyamasundara has hired different people to populate the cosmos. And who is these people that he has hired? One of them is Kashyapa Muni. Just like Shyamasundara has hired Nitai to take care of his personal matters here. You know, she takes care of all his personal, you know, his dressing and bathing and decorating and everything. So Shyamasundara, our Shyamasundara has actually appointed Kashyapa Muni to populate this universe. That's, he needs to do that. So that's him. So today I'm going to discuss, if I have time, of three people in the Bhagavatam right now that we are hearing from. One, first of all, I like to discuss Srila Prabhupada. And second is Diti, and if we have time, then Kashyapa Muni. Like all these people, they're individuals, and so are we. We are all individuals, so we hear something, and we hear according to our thinking, yeah? So this morning, not this morning, but when I got the verse, I started reading the verse. And I'll just tell you a little bit how my mind went when I read this verse, the verse and specifically Prabhupada's purport. When I read this verse, I said, where Kashyapa Muni is saying, to repay you is not possible, even for those who are admirers of your personal qualities. We cannot repay you for what you have done. And I thought, yeah, you know, we wives, you know, we do so much. So this is how my mind thought, you know. And then Prabhupada, dang, so much glorification of women is just indicates his henpecked. Or talking lightly in joke, and I'm like, oh, yeah, Prabhupada, you know. But then when Srila Prabhupada continues in his purport, like in so many other purports that we've been listening to, he's been giving a commentary on social life of husband and wife and how the wife is a fort and how she does things and, you know, and the Varnashram, how the Grihastha Ashram is so important. So he's given all those facts about household life and how it's important. And so he does so that even in this purport, you just heard, in this purport, he says, in case you already forgot, and I can understand you already forgot what I read, that happens to me. So, but he does mention here that how, again, that how a renounced person, he doesn't have any safety net, so to speak. So if he thinks about sexual desires after he's taken sannyas, he's in big trouble. With a householder, he always has the safety net. And so these are facts, you know. At least that's how I perceive. And he says, therefore, Prabhupada is saying, husbands as a class cannot repay their debt to the women either in this life or in the next. So he's just, to me, he's just stating facts, just like he... you know, did otherwise. So I'm like, okay, there it is. Prabhupada's saying everything is good, and yes, the husbands cannot repay debt to their wives. But then again, in the very end, he says, such extraordinary praises by a husband for his wife is certainly in the mood of joking. And I'm like, oh. So this is how I went through the purport. This is Srila Prabhupada, and that's what one person that I would like to initially get to know more. We hear Srila Prabhupada in his classes, in his lectures, in conversations. We hear so much, yeah? But now we are hearing how he's commenting on such a topic of Kashyapa and Diti's conversation. And when I read that, when I was reading and I was going through all the verses and the purports, I was thinking, wow, this is just Srila Prabhupada as a person. He's just as a person, and that's how he's describing. So I'm going to give you a little insights on these things. So in the very, as we started on this chapter in verse number 10, we hear that Diti says that, you know, Cupid has taken over me and I'm becoming like a mad elephant who wants to have an intercourse. That's what she's saying, yeah? So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, again, think about Diti as somebody you know that will help you. Some, let's say think Diti as your neighbor or your close friend or your sister or whoever. Diti is a person. She came alive from the book, yeah? So this is what's happening. So Srila Prabhupada says, where Diti is saying that, Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, it is the prime duty of the husband to give her protection, to fulfill her desire. So she has a desire, a sexual desire, and Prabhupada is saying, it's the duty of the husband to take care of that. You know, he should fulfill her desire. So this is, so you know, a little, I would say, feeling compassion towards Diti, yeah? Feeling, and not only that, he's also saying what the husband's duty is. And then Diti says, you know, you should be very kind and show me mercy. I want to have sons. So, you know, my co-wives, they have sons, so could you please give me sons? And by the way, you'll also be happy. So this is what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport. It was not exactly that she was afflicted by sex desires. So here, Srila Prabhupada again is saying, you know, she's not really affected by sex desires. You know, she really wanted to have sons. And it's natural. So he again says in the purport, Kashyapa was supposed to satisfy his bona fide wife. Remember the word, bona fide wife, yeah? And then Diti is like, I was thinking, she's a lawyer, I guess. She's giving her case. She's telling her all the reasons that why Kashyapa should fulfill her desire. And so, you know, she says, you know, you become famous by having children because you're not meant to populate. And again, Prabhupada says, a father like Kashyapa is supposed to beget good children for the purpose of liberation. So again, three purports in a row, he's talking about what Kashyapa should do. Now, again, the whole idea is right now at this stage is to see Prabhupada, to understand or to appreciate or to know him as a person. And so again she says that, you know, I'm distressed, so one who approaches somebody in distress should never go in vain. Again Srila Prabhupada says, she pleaded when there is an emergency or a distressful condition and there is no consideration of time or situation. This is what Prabhupada is saying, that Diti is saying that there should be no consideration of that. And then then, so it almost seems like he was being kind to Diti and telling Kashyapa that he should perform his duty. And then he continues to say, after that, he says, Kashyapa was engaged in spiritual activities, but although he was engaged in spiritual activities, he did not have strength to refuse his wife who was thus afflicted. So he's going the other way. You know, he should have refused her. And not only that, he says that Vidura is a devotee, but Kashyapa mainly, indirectly saying he's not. Because he literally says here that Vidura is addressed here as a hero because no one is stronger in self-control than a devotee of the Lord. It appears that Kashyapa was already inclined to have sexual enjoyment, but he was not as strong man. He tried to dissuade her only with pacifying words. So indirectly saying, Vidura is a devotee, but maybe he's not. Kashyapa is not. Indirectly sounds like he's saying that. And then he uses the word, it appears that. And then, as it's interesting, then he says, then we get the verses of Kashyapa Muni talking to Diti and appreciating her, or, you know, and that's one of the verses that we heard today. So there was appreciation of her. Then later on, Srila Prabhupada writes, He says, the henpecked husband may not be able to repay his wife for all the benefits that he derives from her, but as for begetting children by fulfilling sexual desire, it is not at all difficult for any husband, unless he's thoroughly impotent. Srila Prabhupada. Yes, so again, we're seeing how Srila Prabhupada is saying, but hear further. Now, when we know the story, Diti, what happens is that she catches hold of his dhoti, Kashyapa Muni's dhoti. And Maitreya Muni describes that she did so just like a shameless public prostitute. Just like, he said. That's all he said, just like a shameless public prostitute. Hear what Prabhupada says. He says, Diti became a prostitute. Diti became a prostitute, and the great sage Kashyapa, although very enlightened, became a victim of his prostitute wife. So, just Srila Prabhupada, how he is, how he expresses things, you get to know him. He's the same person, as a person, he's same in his purpose. This made me think about in one of, again, Satra Maharaj's small books, those red books of Prabhupada memoirs, anecdotes. I remember that there was one anecdote where it was written that they went, Srila Prabhupada went with his disciples to some life member's house. And the life member brought each of his family member, brought him, you know, and introduced and asked Prabhupada to give the blessings to all his family members. So, you know, kids and grandkids and who knows how many, whatever, whoever. So he introduced all of them. And when the householder wasn't there, Srila Prabhupada said, "This is my sex life." So this is Srila Prabhupada. We can sit down and analyze these statements in so many ways and try to dissect them and, you know, why did Srila Prabhupada say here and why and what is then, what is the conclusion of this and that and whatever, and is she a prostitute, is she bona fide, is she a bona fide wife? I mean, later on Prabhupada says about Kashyapa Muni that he was obliged to, he was obliged to perform the forbidden act. For me that meant like, he says Kashyapa could not protect himself because he was too obligated to his wife. From that statement, it almost seems like he really didn't want to do it, but he had to do it. But earlier he said he wasn't strong enough. I was thinking that, yeah, we could dissect all these statements, and that's good. It's important for us to do so. But for me, at least, beyond dissecting Prabhupada's statements is to just appreciate him as a person. How he's soft like a rose and hard like a thunderbolt. And that's what it is. So, yes, he's one of the persons in the Bhagavatam. He's a very important person in the Bhagavatam. All his purports are written by him. And therefore, he comes to life for us as we hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, so, Jai Srila Prabhupada. We hear that the grandfather is more kind to his grandchildren than the father, so I always take very, very much shelter in that statement and feel very, I don't know the word is affectionate or love, or when I see these things, I read things like that, when I hear such statements and, you know, and Srila Prabhupada was so heavy, you know. But I think, granddaughter, he's kind to me. He'll forgive everything what I do. He'll be more on the kind side to me. Anyway, so let's hear about these other two personalities, starting with Diti. So here, Diti, you know, maybe because I'm a woman, you know, I can relate to her more. So Diti is naturally in distress about not having any children. And she's being very honest. So we see some honesty in Diti in expressing to her husband, this is what I need. Please help me. And and as we know the story, Kashyapa does what he has to do. But then Diti is, after she does the forbidden act, she realizes that that was not for her to do. So she was feeling, she was repenting. And she, so you can understand how she must have felt so bad that I did that. I, you know, we go through that. We do sometimes things that we resent that we did, repent that we did that. And so here Diti is feeling that, that, oh, I shouldn't have done it. But then we see her other side of her, of a devotee, the bona fide wife, that she feels, when she's told that and she realizes that, that her sons are going to cause trouble, she keeps her womb intact for 100 years, I think, till, because she didn't want disturbance to be caused in the universe because of her sons. So you get to know her, what kind of person she is. Can you imagine holding the, you know, it must be so painful for her to keep the kids in the womb. I mean, I just know Shyamadarshini, my daughter, just, you know, she just went over 1 week, 10 days, and she was feeling, oh my God, you know. It was like you're anxious in your mind. But then if you know that this living entity is going to be a trouble, then you're not happy. Here the mother is feeling so anxious that I can't wait for my kid to be born. But can you imagine if you already know that your kid is going to be a demon? You wouldn't want to have the child, yeah? You're like, oh my God, so you're going to be out of feelings. You're going to keep the child within the womb. And so that's what Diti did for 100 years. And then, but you know, she found out that her grandson was going to be a devotee of the Lord, so she was happy. But Diti's story doesn't end here. So we feel compassionate towards Diti, and we hear about that, but guess what happens afterwards? When her sons get killed, the demons that she wanted to keep them in the womb for 100 years so that they don't cause trouble, when they get killed, she gets angry at Indra. You would think that she would be happy, but she was angry at Indra because she said, oh, because of Indra, Vishnu killed my sons. So she wanted to kill Indra. So it's, you just get to see different sides of Diti. So then she goes to her husband again. You know, he fulfills all the desires. So she goes to her husband again, and this time she's not so straightforward. She just starts serving him nicely, you know, cooking for him nicely, taking care of things nicely, you know, probably extra ironing his dhoti and kurta and, you know, doing anything he wanted, you know, really nicely. And guess what? The husband's like, oh, my dear wife, I cannot repay you for what you have done, you know, same thing, you know. So he gets affected, Kashyapa gets affected, just like God's affected here. And well, in this here, well, it was different. Here he was, you know, anyway, we'll look at Kashyapa later on, but let's look at Diti. So she So Kashyapa says, dear wife, you've done so nicely for me. What can I do for you? Tell me, ask me any boon. I'll give it to you. So we know all she asked was, I want a son who would kill Indra. Now remember, who is Indra for Kashyapa Muni? Who is Indra for Kashyapa Muni? His son. She asking Kashyapa Muni to please give me a son who will kill your son. And her women. Well, yeah, Kashyapa Muni says a lot about women in there. But yeah, so we get to see Diti's side of her, where she is. And so Kashyapa Muni, and by the way, Diti is just not Kashyapa's son. Indra is just not Kashyapa's son. Indra is Diti's sister's son. He's her nephew. But she wanted to kill him because he's the one, you know. Vishnu killed my sons because of him. So Kashyapa says, no worries. He wasn't really feeling that way, but you know, he's like, no worries, don't worry. Yes, I'll fulfill your desire. You do this worship. So he gives him a whole ways of worshiping. So you worship Vishnu and everything will be taken care of. Your boon will be fulfilled. And so, sure enough, Diti was, wow, I get it. I'm gonna follow all these vows, you know, 16 rounds every single day, you know, do everything, you know, do it. Wash myself this way, that way, take 3 showers a day, whatever. So she does everything so nicely, so nicely. But she was so tired. Sometimes, you know, you just forget that, oh, I didn't chant that one round. I had done 15, but she just forgot to do one little thing because she was so tired and she didn't wash her mouth or something like that. And by the way, I forgot, while she was doing that, when Indra found out that this is what she's doing, Indra got alert. He knew what was happening. And so he started serving her, Diti, because he wanted to find any fault she does so he can finish the kid in the womb. Because she got pregnant, exactly. And so Indra was really nicely serving. I mean, so conniving. So Diti's serving, Indra's serving, Indra's serving so that he gets his way of what he wants to do. And so what happens is that when she forgets, Indra like, wow, this is my chance. So he goes in the womb of Diti and kills the fetus in there into 7. But then they become alive. And then he cuts them again, and then again 40. So basically 49 of them, you know, are there. And they, so when Diti wakes up, she sees that those 49 kids are there and Indra is there. It's like, what happened? Where did these come from? And so Diti says, Indra, please don't tell me a lie. Tell me what happened. And so Indra tells her what happened. It's very, very interesting to, again, these people that are coming out of this Bhagavatam, to know them and to appreciate them and to see how they are and why are they in the Bhagavatam. So Indra tells her why. And Diti, whose heart becomes purified from all the rounds that she chanted and all the seva she did, her heart is purified because she served Vishnu. And so she says, no worries, Indra. They're your followers, they're your brothers. You take them with you. They're yours. Now this is Bhagavatam. This is what Bhagavatam is telling us that serving Krishna, serving his devotees, we get purified. Look at Diti, how she became purified. She had envious feelings, but you know, she got purified. So if we study the Srimad Bhagavatam, if we, like Pran Govinda Prabhu likes to say, to serve Srimad Bhagavatam, that's another way to say Srimad Bhagavatam is a person. You serve a person, yeah? So we serve Srimad Bhagavatam by hearing about them, about the personalities, then our own heart becomes purified. We can think about Diti. We can think about Diti many times when we have some desires that is not necessarily the best, and we still fulfill it, and then we repent. But we can take courage from her, that how she had some bad feelings towards another devotee, and how her heart got purified by serving. And by hearing that, we can, yes, our heart can become purified, because the personalities in here purify our heart. It's not automatically, in one sense, yes, hearing automatically, but how does that automatic thing happens? It happens by people helping us, by their blessings, by Krishna. Krishna says, machita madgata parana bodhayanta parasparam. When devotees are discussing amongst each other, then what do? I purify their hearts with the shining lamp of knowledge. So this is how we can approach the Srimad Bhagavatam, develop a relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam. Like Sri Prabhu said, he would like to develop a relationship. So yeah, we can all develop a relationship with Srimad Bhagavatam by developing a relationship with the personalities, foremost Vishala Prabhupada, and who is helping us to develop the relationships here with Kashyapa Muni and Diti Devi. It's funny about, just one last thing I was thinking about Kashyapa. I'm not going to go through Kashyapa Muni. It's already 8:45, but Kashyapa Muni, you know, I mean, one place Prabhupada calls him, it appears like he's a worshipper of Shiva. And then he says, it appears like he's an impersonalist. I'm like, wow, Srila Prabhupada like did the both things, a demigod worshipper and an impersonalist. It appears, you know, it appears that. But Kashyapa, we know that he is his father of Vamandev. You know, he's Krishna's father. But Srila Prabhupada says, it appears that. Yeah, anyway, Hare Krishna. So thank you very much for your kind attention. Any questions, comments, reflections, please. Welcome to Srivakam Prabhu.
Hari Bol. So Deity was, she was actually a progenitor of mankind. But unfortunately, she was the mother of the Danavas, or the demons.
Daityas.
Yeah, the Daityas, yeah, and the demons, yeah. But that doesn't make her demoniac or a demon. She was just a progenitor. Just like the other wives of Kashyapa, some were mothers of cow, animals, different thing, but that, you know.
Yeah.
So the same thing with her, that was her role. Really.
But, yeah, that was.
But really,
was
she was a good woman, she was a devoted wife.
Yeah.
Everything, really, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to keep that in mind. Right?
Yeah, sounds like she was a mixed person like ourselves. Different emotions come at different times.
Thank you.
Yes, Pankaj.
That was a very nice presentation.
Thank you, Prabhu.
What attracts me many years back also, and I can relate in my own life, that when we do sadhana, practice these five things, get up in the morning, chant, we serve in a practical service, we associate with the devotees, we hear Bhagavatam, chanting Hari name. There is a, how do we measure the result? So you have presented very nice that if there is a acknowledgement is not there that I have done something wrong, and as a result, I see that's not good to awaken love for Krishna. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says two things makes a person candidate for awakening love. One prohibition, one prescription. One prescription is that he does sadhana, daily sadhana, and prohibition is that give up enviousness. So this this enviousness, that how she came out of it, it's so striking. Also Indra's case, they acknowledged, regretted, and repented, because Diti, as you mentioned, I hope everybody caught it, that as Diti was surprised, and then saw also Indra, and Indra apologized first, and then she said, actually, I was evil person.
Yeah.
The whole process I did just against you, to kill you. And then Indra said, but I was a horrible person. I wanted to kill all the children in your womb before they come out even.
Yeah.
I was not even ready to face it. But bhakti purified both of them.
Yes.
And they both became pure.
So beautiful.
That's so striking.
Yeah.
So wonderful. So yeah. I remember Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur on that, where you are on that sloka, he says that, Diti's the case, that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that when one is ready to progress, must do two things. Progression means new selection and new elimination. I will not do any more these things. I must guard myself. New selection. And new elimination, this is what caused before. I'm going to stay away from this. I'll never want it. And praise, everyday praise. So these are very good lessons. That's why Bhagavatam is the purifying agent.
Yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam is just an amazing person. By hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, the deepest desires, especially envy, we can get rid of that. Yes, Vegavati Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Such a brilliant presentation. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And as you mentioned that Prabhupada can be hard as a thunderbolt and soft as a rose, and Pran Govinda mentioned having regrets for our wrong behavior or fault is important. I came over specifically because yesterday when I mentioned Komadaki Prabhu, I thought all day long I was regretting that mostly I just said, oh, she was so stern. And people that didn't know her, I also want to add, she and her husband together, but she is driving force, brought so many family members on both sides to Krishna and take initiation. So many devotees, there's many, many glorifications of her. And I just wanted to say that in the same public forum where I only said out loud, oh, she was so stern. She was soft as a rose as well as that sternness. And yesterday evening I got little videos. My Marangopala Manasi, my spiritual son and daughter-in-law, they went to visit her last Tuesday. He suddenly in the morning felt, we must go see Komadaki. And they were with her just practically hours before she left her body. Mm-hmm. And Madangopal was holding her hand and reciting all the Queen Kunti prayers mm-hmm. that her husband used to say daily to their deities. Mm-hmm. She was chanting along with them. Mm-hmm. She was that conscious, although physically the symptoms of incoming death were quite prominent. And like that. I just wanted to add that because I regretted not having done it yesterday.
Thank you, Bhagavati, for bringing, glorifying her, because it gave me one chance before I let Ekadashi speak. Talking about Mother Komadaki, she served so many devotees. So many devotees would stay at her place, and she served them amazing, and cooking and everything. But personally, I would like to say, when we were living in Los Angeles, Sesha Prabhu had a, he was going to law school, and he had, what did you have in the State Department? You had one semester you were doing or something? Yeah, one semester he was doing, and so, you know, we didn't have any money or this or that, so we actually stayed her at her place. Sesha Prabhu stayed at her place for, at their place for 3 or 4 months, while myself, I went to, with Braja, at that time I had Braja, to Qatar. My parents were there, staying there, posted there. And so we were there, and Sesha Prabhu was there, and Mother Komadaki took care of him for all those months. So she is a saint for sure. I mean, in so many ways, but even for personally, you're talking about indebted, you feel indebted towards her. Yes, Mother Komadaki ki jai. Jai. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Yes, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you see? She, he's staying. Yeah, there you are. They hosted so many. Their house was always open, and Mother Komadaki would cook every day, and yeah, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, thank you. It's so nice that you brought, so that gave me a chance to say something about her. Yes, Ekadashi Prabhu.
Just hearing about all the sort of intrigue, you know, with Diti and the plots and everything like that made me think of the Bhagavad Gita verse, Abrahma Bhuvana Loka, just like how we don't have to aspire for the heavenly planets or anything, because it's all the same stuff is going on, so yeah. Better to just get out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, better to just get out. Very good. Okay, well, thank you very much for all your kind attention. Hare Krishna, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.